Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have a really exciting interview ahead of us about healing your body through nutrition. Today, you'll be meeting Michelle Fox, a woman in the middle entrepreneur who helps women heal perimenopause and menopausal symptoms through the power of culinary nutrition. Welcome to the show, Michelle. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, goodness. Thanks so much for having me, Susie. It's a true pleasure.
I know we're going to have a great conversation. I can tell already because, you know, we have a little chit chat before we start recording. And I want to know all about your midlife entrepreneur story. We're going to be talking about your business, what's going really well, and also what classic midlife issues might be getting in your way to some extent and might be a little bumpy or challenging for you as well as like in your life and being a business owner. So let's start out. My favorite question, how old are you? How long have you been an entrepreneur? What's your entrepreneurial journey like? And what's your business all about? Take it away.
I love all those questions. Thank you. So yes, I am Michelle Fox, culinary nutritionist. I am a very proud 50 years old. I can't even tell you how long I've been wanting to be 50. And it's worked out like really, really well. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But I feel like I've been an entrepreneur since the age of 12 when I used to babysit. I come from a family of entrepreneurs. And so when we ever wanted something, especially something extra or girly or frilly, like we had to come up with the money for that. There was no extra money growing up. And so I was very motivated at a young age to know that if I want something, I have to work for it. And so from babysitting to working, you know, in the snack bar at Walmart, even though my siblings teased me, I'm like, hey, I'm the one that has the car and the money to pay for gas to get in the car. How about you chumps? So, you know, from early on, I've always known that this is who I am. It feels like this is part of my DNA, being an entrepreneur.
Well, especially coming from an entrepreneurial family, it is part of your DNA.
Yes, I feel very grateful. Yes. And to lead into your last question, how and why I'm doing what I'm doing, my father, who was a CPA and had his own firm, he actually died way too prematurely. He was only 67 years old back in 2014. And it was because of stroke, high blood pressure. And to me, that means he was not taking care of his nutrition and he definitely was not taking care of his stress level. And I couldn't help him. However, living through that pain and watching him, you know, decline very rapidly over the last 2 years of his life, I'm like, I never want anybody else to go through this. And so that truly is one of my whys that motivates me to wake up every single morning to find out how I can get more nutrition into people and into my community. So that is how I came to culinary nutrition.
If only you could force feed all of us.
Oh, right? I get a lot of that. Like, hey, Michelle, can you come cook in my kitchen for me? I'm like, I barely like cooking in my own kitchen. So no, the answer is probably going to be no.
You know that question, what would you rather, what would you prefer? A driver, a chef, or a masseuse? And for me, like I really would like a masseuse, but what I really want is somebody to cook for me. Mm. Even just cut my fruit. It's much better that way.
It is. And Susie, I will tell you though, what I love to teach in all my programs is planning ahead. You would be so surprised. I mean, you might not be because you yourself are an entrepreneur, but just a little bit of planning can go so far. So I will tell you one of my little secrets, which is I literally only cook maybe 3, maybe 4 times a week. But otherwise, because I have so much food that I cook those, you know, 3 meals, I've got amazing leftovers. I've got things I can mix together for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so I honestly don't love being in the kitchen either. However, if you were to give me that question, I promise you, I would say masseuse. I could get a massage every day and be A-OK with that.
Oh, it's so true. That's so good. I always thought what I had a really weird kitchen in the first house we ever had at the beginning of our marriage. And it was so funny. It had so much yellow in it on the cabinetry. And it looked like, remember the Brady Bunch kitchen was like the avocado green and orange? It was like that, but yellow and white. And it was so weird. Like everybody commented on it. And I thought, and even had yellow sinks, bright yellow sinks. And I thought, gee, if I had a nicer kitchen, maybe I'd like to cook more. And then, you know, fast forward 20 years, I have a beautiful kitchen. I still don't like to cook.
That's oh, well. So interesting. You know, on my podcast, we actually recently did an episode about color psychology in your kitchen. And I truly wonder if that was part of it. Because I know she said, oh, I'm so bad with memory these days. However, I will say, there might be something to the color of your kitchen that perhaps we can delve into another day.
Oh, that's so interesting. Maybe. I don't know. I think a lot of it is just, I think everything's harder than it is. Mm. That seems to be one of my thoughts that I find in a lot of categories. I'm like, oh, look at that thought stinking up the joint. That's not a useful thought. Mm. It might just be that. But anyway. So tell me then, you were very motivated by your father's problem, his health problem. And when did you put that together that it's like, oh, the tragedy happened? And then what were you doing at the time of all of that? Were you already an entrepreneur?
I was not. So I actually worked in corporate America in investment banking for a little over 25 years.
Investment banking?
Yes.
Wow.
Very different from culinary nutrition, right?
Wow.
Yeah. And it's interesting just to kind of take a step to the side. In all of the personality tests I take, Susie, it's so funny. I'm literally in the middle. So I'm both introvert and extrovert. I'm both linear, you know, with the investment banking, and I'm circular with the culinary nutrition. And so I feel like at the age of 50, it's truly my goal to keep trying to merge both sides of me so that I don't always feel pulled. And having my own business. So it's been 2 years that I've been full-time now. And I can tell you that has absolutely pulled all the sides together because, you know, I'm doing my budgeting, I'm doing my planning, all the linear compared to, you know, teaching the cooking classes and working with clients. That feels very circular. And so I absolutely feel like I'm walking in my purpose right now.
Oh, I love that. And I love that you just self-corrected. That was beautiful to watch. Beautiful to watch, honestly.
Thank you.
Okay, so now you're pressed for time, obviously. So one of the things that I love talking about on this podcast is how midlife and the hiccups associated with midlife, hiccups, bumps, challenges, whatever, they're classic midlife issues. Whatever's going on, it's not only happening to you, that's for sure. And you mentioned in your notes that you are constantly pressed for time. You have three teenagers, household and business. So how are you managing? What's coming up for you in the way that you're trying to run your business, but also honoring your commitments and priorities?
The first hit I just got, and it feels really strong. So I will say it is me practicing, keyword practicing, a release of perfection. So for instance, I recently hired two team members to help me with my biz. And although their work doesn't show up the way I would do it, I am practicing saying, okay, like, is it getting the message to my clients that it's meant to? Are my clients being taken care of? And as long as the answer is yes, then I'm like, okay, let's move on to the next project. So that's on the business side. On the personal side, I am a huge proponent of people being transparent and sharing that I get help. Like, I have a husband who does as much housework as I do. I have hired just recently a team to actually clean our home. And so whereas that might be a financial pinch, and whereas they don't clean quite as well as we did on our own, I'm like, are the floors clean? Are the bathrooms clean? Okay, great. Let's move on. And so really, truly, it's this idea of trying to release the perfection so that I can have more of the things that I want in my life.
That's so great. You know, I remember the first time I was introduced to the concept of B minus work, and it was in my initial training as a life coach and that early business training, because my background's in psychology. I did not get a training in business other than my little side entrepreneurial adventures over the last, well, since I was 13, actually. But I didn't get proper business training until the last 10 years. And it's so, it was so jarring. Just like you, I was used to really, really focusing on minutiae and feeling really, I wanted to say complete. It's not really complete, but just really feeling professional and that was the way to go, right? And then you're introduced to the concept of B minus work, because the bigger picture is, like you said, can you serve your clients? And is what you're navel gazing about really going to make a difference? How do you just keep moving forward? Because the other thing that's changed, I mean, I came from publishing in hospitals. And so what's really changed is everything's online now. So it's content management. So you're not going to print 2,000 books, but you're going to put something online. It's so much easier to fix.
I love that concept. I actually just got goosebumps. You're right. We can always fix it down the road, right?
As long as it's not going to harm somebody's understanding of something really important, you know. But most of what we're doing, well, I don't know. I can't speak for your business, but usually it's a typo. It's not like something massive that's incorrect. Usually just a typo. I had a friend once sent me a note. And she's a huge supporter of mine, but she gets my emails and stuff. And she said to me, you know, I'd be happy to do your proofreading for
you. Oh, was that kind of like a little hint? Like, hey, let me just help you out with that one.
She didn't get the B minus memo. She wasn't an entrepreneur. She didn't get the B minus memo. And I said, oh my God, like, I just appreciated the gesture. But I realized there's no way I could even accept that offer, because I'm not producing my content in a way that there's a revision schedule with external people. It was so cute. I just realized, wow, she didn't get the memo. And look how far I've come, that it's okay. It's okay that she says this. I wasn't offended. I just looked at it. Okay. Anyway,
that's huge, Susie. And I imagine, let me ask you, was that something you came to, or have you always had that kind of inner self-confidence?
Well, I don't know if self-confidence was driving, you know, what was it, 40 years of perfectionism? You know, I'm not sure. I haven't really thought about it that way. But it wasn't that hard to release. It was kind of logical. Once it was taught to me, and I started to practice it with blogging. That's how I started practicing that concept. I'm very committed to blogging. I've been blogging for a very long time, even before I was a coach. I started just before then, after I got laid off, actually. And I could see that it didn't have to be perfect to be entertaining, to teach a concept, to be motivational, to be inspiring. If it was a typo, it really didn't matter. So once it made sense to me logically, I let it go.
Good for you. Bravo. And
it has to be to a point that I'm proud of, but it doesn't need to be perfect.
Good for you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for asking that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So something that did pop up for me when I was reading your notes is how important it is for you to show up authentically. Yeah. And I was really wanting to ask you about that. Like, why do you think it is so important? Because I don't know, were you showing up that way in your corporate career?
Yes and no. I would say up to a point. So, you know, 25 years in any one industry, of course, you're going to rise to the top and you're going to know the industry in and out. And so I feel like I was myself in that role. However, as an African-American woman, I will admit to you, like, I didn't always feel comfortable maybe wearing my hair in braids or wearing my hair extra curly in my afro. And so certain like physical things about me, I didn't feel like I could show up completely myself. Hmm. Whereas now that I am making up most of the rules in my business, and I say most because obviously clients definitely dictate a lot of it. But I do have a new confidence on, you know, the way I want to dress in the morning, the way I want to show up on a Zoom. Like, I do feel like I have a little bit more ownership around that.
Do you work mostly with women?
I do. And it's interesting because all of my marketing is aimed towards women. The majority of my population, I would say, are women between age 45 and 55. But I just kind of giggle because, you know, even though I talk about perimenopause and menopause, I truly believe in this concept called manopause. Men over 40 are definitely going through hormonal changes as well. And Susie, they absolutely find their way into my programs and I love them. And I, you know, I welcome them with open arms. And so I love that the man who is ready to eat well and get his body in balance, he finds me somehow.
That's so interesting. I'm kind of surprised I felt like I needed to ask you that because you talked about being really inspired by your father. But when I originally read your notes, I thought, well, she's working with women, but then you worked in isn't investment banking male dominated?
Absolutely. I was often the only female and often the only African-American female in the rooms as well. So yes, absolutely.
Wow. Anyway, I was curious about that. Anyway, thank you for answering that. And that's so interesting that men are finding their way to you because you're right. If your marketing and your storytelling and your majority of your testimonials and all of it, examples are all female oriented, but the men are finding it. I wonder what kind of a man would even think that it was a hormonal problem? Like, is that message available in the male community?
You know, I honestly don't lead with the hormonal piece. One of my friends said it nicely. She's like, Michelle, you bring people in with chocolate, but then you surprise them with broccoli. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I guess I'm okay with that picture as long as nobody feels like they've been bamboozled, you know. But the thing that I lead with is community. I am a huge proponent and believer in community. I believe that we can reach our goals a lot easier by watching people, you know, to the left of us, to the right of us, to the front of us. And so in all my programs, I lead with, let's lean in together. Let's hold each other's hands, you know, walk with me. I'm not, you know, I don't want to be anybody's guru. I want you to walk with me because I too am human and I too am learning as I go. I may be a few steps ahead of you, client, in certain areas, but I'm still doing the work as well. And so I do believe men are equally attracted to that message as women because they are absolutely looking for belonging just as much as we are.
Wow. And so the groups that you have are mixed?
They are. Yes. With the exception, I do lead international wellness retreats, and the last retreat we went to Costa Rica, and I did specifically say women over 40 only, but that's the only program where I am exclusive to women.
I was just going to ask you about these retreats. So tell me about that. Is this something that you've always wanted to do?
Oh my goodness. Yes. And so back to my dad, he and my mother actually were very, what's the word? They just pushed the three of us. I've got a brother and a sister younger than me, and they pushed us to travel while we were there in the household. You know, they took us to really beautiful places as a family, at least once or twice a year. But then in college and post-college, my mom was very vocal saying, you know, you need to travel before you settle down. You need to travel. You need to travel. And I'm like, okay, because I always loved it. And so, yes, because I have been given the privilege to see so many beautiful places in the world, it truly has been an honor to share this with other women who perhaps haven't been to Costa Rica, or, you know, our next opportunity is in Riviera Maya, which is one of my most favorite places in the world. So I'm excited to introduce people to that area as well.
Wow. You're so true. Some people need to be inspired by an offer of where to go to start imagining it because they just don't. That just happened with me. I went to to do some whale watching in Baja, California, which is in Mexico. It's my favorite place in the world. And I did a trip 30 years ago and I went back and I invited the ladies in my community. And three people came with me and it was amazing. And none of them would have ever been attracted, not only to this kind of a trip where you're in a tent on, you know, for 4 days, but also to be whale watching. It wasn't 1 3-hour trip. It was, I don't know, 7 or 8 hours of whale watching over a few days. It was insanely amazing. And I did it in honor of my birthday this year. So, so great.
Beautiful.
But you offering a trip in a cool place is very inspirational to so many people. And so the food must be off the charts on these trips. So tell me, how does that work with this age group and with you traveling in a different country and providing the menus and the teaching that I'm sure you're wanting to do?
Yes, thank you for asking it in that way as well. Because yes, culinary nutritionist is in my title. So of course, I have to stay true to that. And I want to stay true to that. I say that, though, to give the caveat that I told the women on the very first day that you have my word. I am not judging what you eat this week. Yes, I am providing, you know, an all-inclusive experience. However, if you're going out drinking or, you know, you have snacks that may not be culinary nutrition approved, as I do the air quotes, I'm like, I am not your judge and jury. So I truly wanted the women to feel comfortable and to eat the way they wanted to. With that said, yes, we did have a beautiful session where I taught a few tools on how they can make dinner simple and easy so that when they got home, it wasn't such a chore. But then also, I was grateful to be able to bring in a chef who I could educate on gluten-free living, dairy-free living, and mostly sugar-free. And my Spanish is not great, so I will say there were a few challenges in there. The first day wasn't absolutely happy, but by the second day we were back in the groove. And so I was very grateful that the chef was willing to work with me and willing to provide a beautiful gluten-free, dairy-free meal every day for the rest of the retreat.
Wow, that's great. I had this experience in Baja where it's the first time I went away where I have been dairy-free. So I had some issues myself. And so recently I'm figuring it all out. So I needed to request that. And I found that I got a lot of blank stares because they don't say dairy free. They talk about it in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so I was very confused. It took me a few days. And then a few of the wait staff figured out what I wanted. And they had the products hidden away somewhere, but it wasn't natural. It wasn't like it is I'm in Canada, right? It wasn't like readily available. And in the States, I find some cities are just so amazing with options. So I can see why you do need that time to work with your chef in advance. That's great.
Yeah, so that was one of my lessons learned, that I will learn sin gluten and how to communicate that message for my next trip if it's not a English as a first language country that I travel to.
Yeah, definitely. So what would you say that the focus is for you now, like in business and personally, knowing that you're as old as you are and everybody else around you is as old as they are, and now you know more about what you like and what you don't like and, you know, what you want. So where's your focus professionally and personally?
So I have to go back to that word community. I'll start a little bit backwards with the family. So I have a 16-year-old daughter. My husband also has a 16-year-old daughter, and he has a 12-year-old son. And so we are very clear as a blended family that we only have truly like another solid year, you know, with us being together. And so the community there is where my goal is to be more present and to put more time and energy into my young people, because I don't have to explain to this crowd. You guys know what I'm talking about. Like the time just feels a bit more limited. So I'm trying to put more time and love into them now. And then as far as the business, very similar, building up my community, really trying to reach more and more women to share with them that they do not have to suffer through menopause. That is my number one goal right now, because I started a certain journey where I was suffering, but because of the resources I have through nutrition, and I have some really amazing doctors and healers in my life, we got it under wraps really quickly. And so it's my goal to help other women that to make sure that they are not suffering either.
It's amazing. It's amazing how confusing menopause is.
It absolutely
can. So many people, it's so confusing. And the helpers, like you clarified that you had some amazing healers and other people involved in your healthcare. Because so many people, the information just isn't understood at both sides.
Correct. Including one thing I'll just pop in there that's not necessarily nutrition related, but stress. Like I was really surprised to learn that stress is one of the number one things that causes the hot flashes and the mood swings and the night sweats. And so, yes, I can talk all day about the nutrition to help eliminate certain symptoms like that. But it really comes back to a mindset, which I know you work a lot around and talk to people about. But yeah, if we could manage our stress, that's a huge way to eliminate a lot of the symptoms we're having.
Well, even to believe that there's something you can do about it. There's something like to feel like you're not just stuck with the cards that you were dealt, but to check in with your beliefs about that. A lot of the work I do is about checking in with thoughts about aging, because so many of us think either we're cool with it, nothing to worry about, or we're not cool with it. Let's just make jokes. But really, it's a downhill slide to the finish line. When we're really honest with ourselves, we might be surprised with how we actually think about aging. And I think with menopause, it's like that too. Like, do you really think that you can do something about it? Do you really believe that food is going to help? Do you really believe that more relaxation, more sleep, more physical activity, whatever? Do you think anything is going to help? Or are you just stuck? Grin and bear it, you know? I think our thoughts really surprise us. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And that's why I promise you in every single one of my group coaching programs, I always base it on my three pillars, which is mindset, number one, nutrition, and then also the fitness. So exactly what you just said. Yes, I absolutely agree.
Amazing. Now, I asked you in your notes, what was one of the most surprising things about being in midlife, being over 50 and being an entrepreneur? And you talked a little bit about chasing money. Can you tell me what you meant by that?
Yes. So coming from the investment banking world, that is number one. That was our almighty God. And I say that a little facetiously because I absolutely am a spiritual person and I have a spiritual practice. So I was clear that money wasn't my literal God. However, I will say during that, 8 a.m., well, let's be real, more like 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. days for the most part, I was doing that work and hustling to make that money. And so, yes, now that I'm 50 and running my own business, I really am, I guess, back to the work practicing. I'm practicing coming back to the middle because, yes, I am absolutely passionate about the work I do. And sometimes that doesn't always translate to the dollars. And then over here, in the past, making the money, yes, I had a lot of money, but I didn't necessarily have a lot of passion towards the end of the years. And so now at this age that I've kind of seen both sides, it truly is a practice to bring them both together and to learn, like, how can I continue to share my gifts and have passion about building community and helping women eliminate menopausal symptoms, but also make money while I'm doing it as well, because that still is a value of mine. And so I think that's just been the most surprising thing around turning 50, because I didn't expect to be here. I truly didn't know that I would have my own business full time at this time in my life. And so now that I'm here, it's a beautiful practice to find exactly where that sweet spot is going to be. Because I'll be honest, I'm not there yet, but I feel like I'm getting closer and closer.
Yeah, it's definitely a transition. And also it's like, it's an identity shift for you. I mean, the way you explained investment banking, it's certainly nothing I know anything about, but you were immersed in that culture and that hustle and that drive and those shared goals. And now you can really connect with who you are and what you want and figure out, well, how do we do that? And I love how you described it being in the middle, because it is somewhere in the middle.
Absolutely.
Somewhere in the middle. Yeah. All right. So amazing. I love everything you're doing. So tell me a little bit about what you offer. What kind of programs, what kind of services, how do you roll?
Yes. So I love to serve through the International Wellness Retreats. That's number one. You can go to michellefox.com and see what we're offering at the time that you are listening to this episode. I love to serve truly with a lot of free content. So you can find me on any of the socials. Specifically, Instagram is where I spend the most time at Michelle Fox Love. And then lastly, if you want a free meal planner to help you stay organized and also to help you save money, just go to michellefox.com/planner and you will not only get your planner, but you'll also be in my community. And I would love to serve you that way.
You have a very cool name, Michelle. Michelle Fox Love, Michelle Fox. I mean, that's a very cool name.
Thank you so much. And in the name of transparency, I will tell you that is the name of my daughter's father. So my first husband, second husband has been very gracious because of course he wanted me to take on his name, which I do legally, but professionally, I'm holding on to Fox. I really like it too.
It's a great name. Yeah. You know, and because we're in the online world, we have to like the way it rolls out, the way it looks in print, when you click on it, when you say it on a podcast or in an interview, it's so much easier than my name, for example. Susie could be spelled with a Z or an S-I-E, right? Rosenstein, is it a Z? Is it an S? Is it Steen? Is it Stein? So many confusions there. Fox,
I hear ya.
Simple. Maybe people mix up the L's in Michelle, but that's, you know, so you're two L's.
I get that. Yeah. Two L's. Thank you for the clarification.
No worries. I know a lot of Michelle's are one L's and two L's, and I have to always check it, double check it. Okay. So your main message is we are not meant to suffer. And you're right that, you know, as women, we are. I mean, there are statistics that show that a lot of the care of children and parents does fall to women. And fall to might not be the right word. We make decisions and we do feel obligated and we do feel pressured sometimes and we have family as a priority. So there's all kinds of reasons that women are in the role of caregivers. But it does happen. And then when menopause gets put on top of it, I love that you're focusing on lack of suffering. So good. So tell me about these simple tools for me time that really help women with their health.
Yes, I would love to. So one, planning. I cannot say it enough. So again, michellefox.com/planner. If you just take 30 seconds, excuse me, I wish 30 seconds. Let's try 30 minutes. Oftentimes, my clients will do 30 minutes on a Sunday morning and you block out that time no matter what. Kids, spouse, dog. Like, no, you don't get my time during these 30 minutes. Plan out the week and then every night, my clients let me know just how they can like breathe into it. Like you never hear the what's for dinner question because guess what? You'll have your planner on the wall. So the whole family knows what's for dinner that night. And then just for you, especially for people that, you know, are working really full days or you're coming home or it's time to cook, like you don't have that extra brain trash, like trying to think, oh, I didn't pull out the chicken or I didn't, you know, buy the right vegetable for this recipe. It's like, nope. You got that covered because it's on the planner. So that will save you time in the long run so that you truly can do the things you want to do that you enjoy. And then secondly, I just want to really stress me time, just even in the title. I learned about 5 years ago from a therapist when I was feeling like I was losing my mind. She's like, Michelle, you just need a minute to breathe. I'm like, oh. So we decided at that time, it's changed a little bit over the years, but at that time it was every Tuesday evening, rain or sunshine, that was going to be my time. So that was Michelle time. So again, the whole family knew, don't call me, don't think about me. Don't say, oh yeah, I know you're having me time, but blah, blah, blah. It's like, nope, mommy's not answering her phone between, you know, 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. And so I would take myself sometimes to the park and have dinner. Maybe I take myself to a nice restaurant. Maybe I'd go to the movies. Like maybe I would just sit in my car and sleep. Like it was just a really nice way to kind of rest into myself, be able to hear my voice, not feel pulled in any kind of direction. And it was something I could always look forward to, like every Tuesday evening. So I just offer that up to your listeners as well, to block out that time for yourself.
Oh my God, even sleeping in the car. That's such a great example, because the car, I love my car, and it's not even so fancy anymore. It's an old van. I love it. It's my old van. I have my radio programmed. I have all my chargers. I have tweezers in the glove box, because you know that mirror is the best one. The lighting is so good. But you're right, because you have freedom and you have a little bit of privacy. And I do find that even like when the kids were little, I felt that the only privacy is in the bathroom. That comes to mind all the time as just autopilot thinking. But the car I do use. Sometimes even when I come home, I don't come in right away. I just sit there. And my life isn't even chaotic anymore in terms of older children. My dog's a little demanding, but I love that example. It's very real.
Thank you.
Yeah, really good. All right, Michelle, anything else? Because you're awesome. We know how to get a hold of you. We got to stop the suffering. Agreed.
Absolutely. I just sincerely do not want anybody suffering. There are answers. There are plenty of alternatives. My programs help you not suffer, not feel like you're going without. There is zero starvation on any of the items that I talk about. Like, I want people to know that there are options. And to your point, once we decide that, yeah, I think I can search out the new options, or I can seek out new answers, I promise you, those answers are coming. So I would love to support you in finding those answers.
That's great. Thank you. So remember, michellefox.com, coolest website ever. Thank you so much, Michelle, for taking the time in your day and sharing all this. I really appreciate your effort to help women and deal with nutrition and menopause and reduce suffering. It really can be so confusing. So you're amazing. Thank you so much for doing this work in the world.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for sharing my story.
Okay, because that's been my pleasure too. That is it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would like to come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We would love to have you on to share your story. Thanks so much for listening. It's never too late to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with this show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.